Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Later fake the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, big show. We're going to recap A-State men's basketball's performance at Daytona Beach as they competed in the Roe College Basketball Invitational. Some good stuff there. Baseball with another busy week. Track and field, a great weekend. They were at three different events and had some really good finishes, but we're actually going to start with bowling this week, and that's because for the 16th consecutive season, the bowling team is headed to the NCAA tournament. It was announced during the selection show this past Wednesday that the Red Wolves are the number two seed in what is an 18-team field, and they're going to begin play in the Rochester Regional coming up this Friday. And joining us to talk about it, senior from Raleigh, North Carolina, it's Emma Stoll. How are you, Emma?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Now, I'm told you had a birthday over the weekend. Is
I
that
did.
Right?
Yes, yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
How did you celebrate?
Well, my boyfriend came to visit, and then all of the girls like decorated our apartment, and we threw like a little party and played lots of games. So that was fun.
Do you have bowling parties anymore?
No.
All right.
Definitely
had
not.
Easter eggs on your birthday?
We talked about it, but then we did not do that.
Where'd this boyfriend come to visit from?
Omaha, Nebraska. He used to golf here at A-State, and then now he took his fifth and sixth year in Omaha.
What's his name?
Connor Wilson.
All right. So Connor came to visit. I do want to mention the NCAA tournament. We just mentioned that, and you've gone every year you've been here at Arkansas State. What's that moment like with the selection show? Do you still get excited sitting down with your teammates and seeing Arkansas State up on the screen and where you're going to be seated?
It's always really exciting, but we do kind of expect it up to be up there. You know, we were ranked number two for most of the year, but it's really fun to see where we get to go and what teams we get to compete against. Obviously, we have Vanderbilt in our region this year, and that's who we lost to for the national championship last year. So I think it'll be really fun just to get to compete against them again. And we went to Rochester last year and competed really well there. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a different sort of watch party. I mean, they're sitting there and the show is on the NCAA website and they're all lined up. But yeah, it's not dramatic in any way because it's not...
Ooh, are we going to get in?
Oh, we didn't win the conference tournament. I hope we get in. It's just like, oh, we didn't win the conference tournament, and we're still going to be the number two overall seed. Okay. I mean, and so it really is more about, you know, obviously, and they applaud and when they see their name on the screen. But then I think for them, it probably does shift to more, okay, what names are about to pop up underneath here? Who else is coming?
You mentioned Vanderbilt, Emma. And to have them in your same region, I guess, is... That's kind of interesting in the fact that, yeah, there was that dramatic finish last year at the national championships. Now, this is a Vanderbilt team that you've defeated several times this year. In fact, you beat them more than you've lost to them this year, right?
Yes.
So now that you have them in the regionals, I mean, is that something you guys are kind of fired up about?
I think so. At least I am. I think I can speak for a couple of the other girls, too. We're really excited to have them because we lost to them last year, and we got them in our regional the year before that and lost to them. So I feel like there's a lot of like determination to beat them this year. But we do like all of the girls in that team. We all get along, so it's like a fun little rivalry that we all have.
There's no trash talk or anything
in
bowling?
A little bit, but like outside of bowling, we all get along really well.
Give me some bowling trash talk.
I don't think I can say it.
Is it that bad?
Yeah, a little bit.
I hope you dropped that ball on your toe.
On what level? I mean, like, okay, bad how?
Just not like a lot of profanity.
Now, okay. Yeah. Oh, I want to tell you
something. Well, you can do that, Emily B.
This is a podcast.
I had plenty of profanity in bowling.
Yeah. There's not a bowling alley in America or a bowling center, whatever we want to call it. There's not plenty of profanity.
This is true.
So
yeah. Give
us an example.
So one of my favorite things, a couple of my teammates do this a lot, is when somebody goes up there to throw a shot, they try and call something like before it hits the pins, like that's going to split or she's going to leave a 10 pin or something. So I feel like that's the nicest trash talk. But other stuff is just you know, like F them, F that type of thing. It's not really like bowling related trash talk. It's more like anger trash talk.
All right. And now I've got a whole new outlook on this tournament coming up. I'm just going to picture everybody throwing expletives.
You think
at
they're
one
doing
another.
All this, you know, high fiving and glad handed and chanting, but really, and they are, but it's just.
It looks good. We do a good job. Yeah. Being on TV was different, though. We had to make sure we kept our mouths shut when we were competing against them last year.
Does anybody tell you that?
We tell ourselves that. And coach will be like, you guys need to make sure you keep it down a little bit. So.
Keep it clean, ladies.
Yeah.
Well, this is a little bit of a step away from the trash talk, but it goes to superstition. Will you get up and bowl beside a split?
I do. But then if something bad happens, coach blames it on the fact that there is a split right next to it.
Oh, really? So yeah, he's that way?
No, he is that
okay.
way.
Okay. Well, that, yeah.
Yeah, if there's two splits on either side of us, he will tell us, don't go yet. So.
That was, I mean, I know that was the thing, though. You didn't, you know.
I didn't, know that.
Get up and bowl beside a split.
Bowling is very superstitious, I feel like. Like, I wear the same hairstyle every day that I bowl. Unless I do bad, then I switch it up the next day.
What do you do? I mean, do you wear
just
it down like
a low,
that?
Yeah, no, just like a low ponytail. I used to claw clip it, then I bowled bad a couple times, so I don't use the claw clip
no
anymore.
No claw clip. Mm-mm. All right. So, Raleigh, North Carolina. You grew up there. Tell me about your family. You come from a bowling family, right?
Yes. Well, it's funny because neither of my parents actually bowl. It was my cousins that did it. They had a club team at NC State, and my mom was like, we should try that. And so now me and both of my younger sisters bowl. My middle sister competes for North Carolina A&T, and then my youngest sister just committed to Jacksonville State.
So you're the oldest of three.
Yes.
All girls.
Yeah, my and poor dad.
All collegiate bowlers.
Yes.
But your parents didn't bowl.
No.
That's what's kind of crazy.
My mom ran track and field and played like basketball, and my dad also played basketball.
I don't want to get too far away, but how do we get the sister to end up at Jacksonville State?
You know, I tried. I hosted her on her visit here. So I really tried to get her to come here. We were up there on her list, but I think she wanted to make her own pathway. She didn't want to go where either of her sisters went. So.
Now, you mentioned your middle sister. Now, North Carolina A&T, you knocked them out in the regionals last year.
We did.
How much trash talk was there in that match?
That was bad. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
No, your mama jokes, though.
Nope, because my mama was sitting right there, too. She was there. My dad had two hats, an NCAT hat and an Arkansas State hat, and he was sitting on the left lane, and so we switched lanes. So whenever we would jump over to the other lane, he would switch the hat to whoever was on that lane. So he sat there with two hats on.
Oh, that's a good dad.
He is a good dad. He doesn't really know a ton about bowling, but he tries.
So who, if the three sisters just go at it, who's coming out on top?
Like in a fist fight?
No, let's keep with bowling first, and then we'll talk about
the youngest.
The fight. Really?
She's so good, yeah. She's easily the best out of all three of us.
Huh. What about in a fight then?
Definitely not me. Probably the middle sister.
Okay.
What are you going to win at?
Being the oldest, I guess. That's about it. I'm the favorite too. My parents' favorite, so I wanted that.
You talk the most trash of the three?
Probably.
Okay.
And the middle sister's, she talks a lot of trash too, so.
Well, it sounds like your parents were athletes, though. Did you play anything else? I mean,
no, we tried like other things. My dad mostly taught me how to play like basketball, and he taught me how to throw a football. I think he really wanted a son, but he ended up with three girls. So that's really it. It was bowling from when I was, I think, 8, and then nothing else.
Seemed to have worked out for you.
It did.
And now here you are going to the NCAA tournament one more time as a senior. How much would clearing that hurdle for this program? Brad's talked about it a million times on this podcast. I mean, this program's done everything you can possibly do except one thing.
Mm-hmm.
How much would it mean to go out a national champion?
It would mean so much for me, for the other seniors that are leaving, because this is technically my 5th year, and I didn't decide to come back until over the summer. A coach called me, and he was like, I really think that you should do it. Like, I think that we could win. And so I agreed with him, and I really want to win this year. And I think even all the new girls coming in, like, they all want to win, not just for us, but also I think that plays a role in it. Everybody's just really determined, and I feel like that would mean a lot, especially for Coach. He's been here a long time. We haven't gotten it done for him either, so I think it would just mean a lot.
What do you remember about the national championship match last year?
I remember feeling like we had won after we had gotten that third game.
It was 3-1, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Brooklyn and I, we looked at each other and we were like, wow, like we we're really about to do it. And then we did not do it. So I went to the bathroom, kicked a couple things, cried a lot. But I feel like that's going to help us this year. We don't want to feel that again. And we felt that my sophomore year also. So I think that we have a lot of experience in, I don't want to say losing the national championship, but we do. There's three of us that have been here for both of those. So I think that we really know how we don't want to feel. So I think that'll help us win.
The three, you, Brooklyn, and
Faith.
Faith, okay.
So what, and I'm not trying to get you to relive the bad stuff, but I mean, it's a unique experience. Not many people can be in that spot.
Yeah.
You guys get ahead 3-1. And then they roll the national championship trophy out and set it in front of you.
Yep.
So like, what changed from that point? When did you feel like, ooh, this thing has tightened up?
Probably in game six, because it looked like we were going to win game six. And then we had a couple of unfortunate splits that happened. And then Mabel picked up the 3-10 for them to win that game. And even though we were the undefeated team, they were the higher seed. So they got to pick the lane. And I think at that point we were like, this isn't good, because the right lane was bad. So I think that we all kind of tightened up a little bit, and then it did not fall our way.
You've been around Coach Kostic these last few years. How's he helped you?
I think, well, when I first committed here, it was kind of funny because, I mean, you guys know who he is. A lot of people called him crazy to me. They were like, oh my gosh, he's crazy. But I think he's just really passionate, because I came here and he might yell and he might like do things like in the back of the bowlers area, but it's because he wants to win. And I feel like he's really instilled like that belief in us that we are good at what we do. And I think that he's an amazing coach because he also really cares about all of his girls.
One thing about your coach, and we like Coach Kostic a lot, but he speaks a different language. He speaks bowling, and he's not afraid to speak it to anybody, even though you may not be affluent in bowling or speaking mm-hmm. the same language Coach Kostic does.
Yeah.
Do you talk at the same level
no.
as
nope.
him?
I don't understand a lot of it.
When it comes to oil patterns and all that stuff.
Okay, where does he lose you?
I understand like the oil pattern somewhat, but then when he starts talking about like the ratios of the oil on the lane, and I'm not a super like technical bowling person, like bowling balls, you know, he does all of that for us. So I have chosen not to learn it. And so when he starts talking to me about cover stocks on bowling balls and what this ball does versus this ball, I'm like, I just kind of smile and nod. I'm like, yeah. I understand.
But you're a senior. You're extremely accomplished here at Arkansas State. I mean, if you don't understand it, is anybody getting it?
A couple of the girls do.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah, because some of them are very, like, they study a lot of bowling. I don't do that. I kind of just get up there and I bowl because I feel like that would stress me out if I knew everything about it. But I don't understand a lot of what he says. I don't think many people do. That's why him and all of his coach friends are friends. They all talk about it together.
You got a 300?
I actually do not. 299.
299?
Yeah, a couple times.
Which is the worst.
Yeah. That last shot just doesn't fall.
I bet you throw out a few words after that, right?
The first one, no. But after that, yeah.
So you have two 299s?
I think... I don't really remember. It was a long time ago. Since going to college, I don't really like bowl games.
You don't do a lot of that.
Yeah, we just like throw shots at practice. And then when I'm at home, I do the same thing. So maybe after college, maybe.
Interesting kind of offshoot conversation. We used to have it every once in a while on this radio program over there where it's like, it's hit the hole in one and it's bowling 300. And the two things are miles apart. Because if you hit a hole in one, like you swing and you're done. Like whatever happens from there is out of your control. Both, you got to go do it 12 times in a row.
Yeah, there's a lot more skill required in bowling a 300 where there's an element of luck with the hole in one.
I feel like there's an element of luck with the 300 too, though. I remember in the first 99, I had a couple of shots that probably shouldn't have struck, but they did. So I feel like golf and bowling are both... skill and luck related.
Yeah.
What pin did you leave each time? I know you know.
A 7-pin both times.
Both times.
Both times, yeah.
How cool is it to have a facility like the Social and being able to practice there and have a locker room upstairs at the Social? I mean, that's a venue that not many other programs, I imagine, have anything
yeah,
close to
Yeah, not many
to
of
like.
Them at all. I think it's so nice because my freshman and sophomore year, we bowled at Hijinks, which is still a great facility they had. We had a locker room there that they built for us. But having the social, being so close to campus, we obviously are very close with a lot of like the workers there. They know who we are. They let us come practice outside of like practice time. And seeing like our pictures up at the wall, I don't know if you guys have seen it recently, but they finally like finished doing the whole bowling alley part. So we have pictures and they have like home of the Arkansas State, like Red Wolves Bowling. So I think that's really cool.
And then kind of to get a little deeper down in the weeds on that, like it's this, and maybe this thing will move back to it, but you know, they're like string pins. And so like in practice, Coach Gostick on an iPad can just call up exactly what pins to put up and they can shoot specifically at the things they want. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I feel like that really helps us out a lot too, being able to shoot spares. We can just set them up. He has a lot of drills where we have to set up the back pins and we have to make them in a row. So I think that's helped a lot of us with our spare shooting, because my freshman and sophomore year here, we were not the best team at that. We struck a lot more than we made our spares. So I feel like now it's very even and we're a lot better for that.
What have you enjoyed most about being here?
I think the athlete environment, like obviously I met my boyfriend from the golf team and we all hang out with the golf team, the track team, the volleyball girls. Like I feel like a lot of us are, we hang out and we know who we are and we support each other, which is really cool. And I love the apartments here. I live at Pack Place, so it's really nice to have like a big space where the team can come hang out outside of bowling, because I feel like that's necessary for us as a team to not always be in a bowling alley. So that's probably my favorite part, is just meeting people and having a good time with my friends.
So we know you guys had your birthday party, but like, what do y'all do if you're hanging out and it's not bowling? What do you and your teammates do?
They usually come to our apartment because we're me and my two roommates are the only ones that live at Pack Place. So everyone will come over, and my roommate and I have a dog. So everybody plays with the dog. We play a lot of games. I enjoy watching like football and basketball, so we'll turn that on. Some of my roommates don't feel the same, so it doesn't stay on for very long. But we also like to do karaoke. So we do a lot of karaoke together.
What's your go-to song?
Me and Carly, we sing Shallow together by Lady Gaga.
We can play it right here.
Nope, that's okay. I'm really good. It's a duet. It can't be done without
a
duet.
Well, that's not an easy song to sing.
Whose part do you take?
Depends on our mood. Usually the guy's part, though. We also sing Whiskey Lullaby together.
Oh, another great one.
Yeah, another
Brad
sad
Paisley
one. But
Allison Krauss.
Yeah, really. It's a real party.
Really, yeah.
He Stopped Loving Her Today is the finale. So, yeah, it's a uplifting deal over there.
Yeah, we're happy music only.
So what comes next when all this bowling and school is done?
I promised my little sister that I would bowl a couple of tournaments with her. So she told me I have to practice at least once a month so that I don't suck by the time we get to the tournaments. I told her I could do that. Going to start looking for a job. I finished my master's this summer, so I have to finish that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
In what?
Sports administration. So I want to work in sports still. Probably not bowling. A lot of schools don't have bowling, but then I'm probably going to move to Oklahoma. So I want to work at either like OU or OSU, hopefully, in the future.
Why Oklahoma? You're a North Carolina.
Where my boyfriend lives.
Oh, okay.
That's where he's from. And we have like a really good situation set out there. Like we have a place to live. So, but I am hoping to go back to North Carolina because I love it a lot more than Oklahoma, I think.
Well, they're cutting up in Raleigh, North Carolina right now.
Yeah. I'm really sad that I'm not at home for some of that stuff that's going on right now.
Made it to the Final Four in the men's and the women's.
Both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm an NC State fan from out of all the schools back home, so.
Well, I would hope.
It's only 20 minutes from my house, so.
As far as bowling centers, and we had an old coach here that used to get on us when we said bowling alley, so I almost said bowling alley, but I changed it to bowling center. What's the best food you've ever had at a bowling center?
I don't usually eat at bowling centers, but back home at my home bowling center, they had funnel fries. And those were really good. I don't think they have them anymore, but that was probably
Sounds
my favorite.
Really good.
And a hot dog never go. You can never go wrong with a hot dog at some places. So,
I mean, will you be a league bowler one of these days?
I haven't decided yet. I think I really like the college atmosphere of bowling and competing with the team. So I don't know if I'd be able to really do it and have fun after this, like without a team like this. So I think we'll see. If I miss it, then probably.
Can't bowl more than 2 frames a game anymore.
I know. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a lot of bowling, 3 whole games.
Well, Emma, it's been great having you in, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Getting that national championship to end your career. I know that'd be the perfect way to go out for you, and hopefully We're back here talking about a national championship here in the next couple of weeks.
I hope so. Thank you, guys.
That's Emma Stoll joining us here on the Second to None podcast, presented by the Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank. We've got more to come right after this.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact, spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T-Club.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Back on the Second to None podcast, presented by the Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. I want to talk about the men's basketball team here. They finally wrapped up their season last Tuesday at the Rowe College Basketball Invitational. By the way, March 26th was the latest date an A-State men's basketball game had ever been played in a season. But a great way to finish up at that tournament. Enjoyed the experience down at Daytona Beach. And again, the Red Wolves defeated Bethune-Cookman in the first round. Basically the home team in that tournament,
yeah,
who was literally from 2 miles down the road. Their campus was right down the street. By the way, that win over Bethune-Cookman, the first postseason win for an A-State team since the second round of the 1991 NIT against Memphis. So it had been 33 years since that had happened. And then in the second round, the quarterfinals, they knocked off a really good Montana team, beat them by double digits. That was a Montana team that had won 24 games, and they started five seniors on that team, which I thought was interesting that they'd come to that particular tournament. And I think the CBI is a great way to reward a team, but in a lot of ways, it's better for younger teams.
Sometimes
to
old
go to
teams don't want to
like
do
that.
And it depends on what sort of old team are you. Are you an old team that was like it's NCAA tournament or bust, big time pick to win your league? And I guess it all depends on, like, is your team excited for the chance to play, or are they settling? Are you almost dragging them to the CBI? And if you're dragging them, you need to stay home.
And that's a long way to go from Montana to Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
To play in the CBI. So I'm guessing those guys really wanted to go and play a couple of more games. But, yeah, they had won 24 games. And what I am always going to remember about that game is the defense from Darian Ford. And the team defense was great. But what Darian Ford did that night was just phenomenal. And I know I mentioned it a bunch on our broadcast, was, you know, just how phenomenal he did at shutting down their top scorer, a guy named Anand Moody, who had 34 points the day before, averaged over 17 a game on the season, and Darian just didn't let him breathe. Held him to 4 points, and I think Moody turned it over 4 times, and it was neat. After the game, I'm interviewing Coach Hodson, and he said, and he had come straight over after he shook hands with Anand Moody and the rest of the Montana team, and Moody stopped Coach Hodson and said, look, that's the best anybody's defended me since Houston, who's the best defensive team in the country.
Yeah, so a couple things there, and Houston may come up later. We may talk a little bit at the end about some time I spent with Houston's basketball team first weekend of the NCAA tournament. But it's funny because I was in Memphis, you know, for the opening rounds of the tournament. We were doing press conferences the day of the Bethune-Cookman game. So only way I had to keep up with it was through the live stats on my phone. Only option available to me because I was doing press conferences. I had to have it sitting at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, like, so the people over here kind of knew, you know, we were playing. I'd kept up with it. And I had a guy ask, well, what's going on with the game? And I guess it just come from years, and you'd do the same way. Just you see enough of them that without hearing a word of it, without seeing a word of it, with only having live stats to look at, I said, man, this game worries me because every time I look, we're up 9, but then it goes to 3. And then it might go to 7, and then it's 3. And then it's 5, and then it's 7, and then it's 3. And I said, it just, even only looking at the live stats, it makes me feel like a game that they're going to make, they can make one late run at the end and get ahead. And so one of those press conferences ends, and I grab my phone to get the update and refreshes, and like 2 minutes to go, and we're down. I'm like, God dang it, that's what I was, it's what I thought was going to happen. And so to see us pull it out was exciting to answer that bell and make that last little push.
Yeah, with that Bethune-Cookman game, you're absolutely right, because we never led by double digits in that game. We led by 9 several times, and we just kept letting them hang around. Yeah. But the way we closed that game, I thought that was important, because we closed strong and had a couple of big buckets down the stretch to help win it. Eventually, one by one, but it...
How'd you call that? That play?
The end of it? Yeah. I was in shock. I mean... Yeah, I mean, he gets the steal, needing a 3, and the Bethune-Cookman player drives and lays it in.
With authority.
With a 2, I think is the way I said it. All we had to do was inbound the ball with 4/10 of a second, and as soon as we got our hands on it, the game was over.
So two things there. Number one, I'll do the inbounds last, because whoever it was that we had the presence of mind to step out and just throw it in real fast, because I think everybody else on the floor is standing still thinking, what in the world just happened? And somebody, and I don't know who, thought to grab the ball and throw it in real fast and end the game. I thought that was good presence of mind. The other thing, my first thought when I heard how this game ended, because it took me a while to find out how it ended, mm-hmm. because I only had the score to go by. But my first thought when I heard or saw how that game ended was, well, you know what? Basketball sort of owed us one for the Georgia State game.
Well, yeah, it was a similar deal, because we forgot.
We thought, because
what the score
we
was.
We had a couple guys that thought Avery had a foot on the line, including Avery.
Yeah.
And they thought we were down one in a game we were actually tied. So I thought we sort of had one coming our way.
All right. So, yeah, you get the win over Bethune, get the win over Montana, and then you play the top seed in the CBI, High Point, really good team, big athletic team in the semifinals. We're down 14 with 11 minutes to go, and man, our guys fought. They came back, rallied to get to within one, and had a really, really good look at the end of the game from the guy you want shooting it. I mean, it was Taren Todd's shot that you feel like he's going to make 9 out of 10 times, and unfortunately, it came just a little bit short, and the season ends with an 81-80 loss.
And the truth is, like, if you ask him, like, he shot a fadeaway because I don't think he could believe how open he was. I figure he was assuming you were going to have to shoot a fadeaway. You can't ask for more than to get that shot from that guy. Yeah. And you live with what happens. Now, we also, I think all, I wouldn't say all, but a great many of us, myself included, all learned together that you can go back minutes after the fact and look at a goaltend.
I don't like that.
It really exposes a bad loophole in the rule, because at that point, you know, we saw it happen even in the Duke North Carolina State game Sunday, where they reviewed a goaltend, but they reviewed it immediately. Here, like, we missed out on the points and the possession, and that shouldn't be able to happen.
And that was coming out of the last media timeout. Right. So it seemed a little deflating, at least on my end, because we were down 7, and then all of a sudden we're down 9.
And they literally on the TV broadcast, on the screen, changed the score. And I can't hear it. I'm at where I'm at. I'm only kind of seeing it. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah. The officials were on the other side of the floor. So I'm texting Caleb Garner saying, what's going on over there? Did we get a basket taken off? And so I had to get an explanation from the other side. He said, yeah, they're looking at a goaltend and looks like they reversed it. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
But there's got to be like a statute of limitations. Like in the Duke North Carolina case, they called it, so it was a dead ball. Well, they went and looked at it immediately. The guy who comes on as their rules official says, hey, because they're going to review this, and it looked like a good block. So he says, well, I think they're going to do is take the goaltend, going to wipe the goaltend, and at that point you go to the possession arrow, it'll be North Carolina's basketball. Well, they come back, and not only do they say, hey, it's a good block, but it's a good block, and when we blew the whistle, the ball was in Duke's hand, so they get it. Well, so they come out on both ends, and we came out wrong on both ends, score-wise and possession-wise. And at least in my heart, I'm hoping, I'd like to think that, when those officials get together and make that call, if one of them didn't say it, I hope at least one of them thought, good God, I hope this doesn't end up a 1 or 2 point game.
Well,
and it did.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
That definitely affected the outcome of the game. How about Isaiah Nelson? Ooh. How good was he in this tournament? All tournament selection, and certainly deserved that honor. He averaged 18 and 12 for the three games at the CBI, and he had 25 and 15 in the semifinals. By the way, the first to have 25, 15, and at least two made threes in a game for A-State since 2015. And
who was that?
I don't know. I just saw the note. I'm guessing that was probably Anthony Livingston that did
okay.
that. But still, a pretty big-time accomplishment for Isaiah. And look, people, they joke about the threes, and he ended up hitting three of his five threes on the season in this tournament. But if you watch him and shoot around, he's got a good shot. I know he's 6'10", but his game came so far from his freshman to sophomore season. Don't be surprised if that's not part of his game a lot more going into his junior season, because Isaiah can shoot the three. He's got a good stroke, and his shot just continues to get better.
It's the way the game is played now. Not in general, but certainly it's the way Coach Hodson wants to play it. If you're going to be out there, you at least better be able to be respected enough to hit that shot.
Well, he's capable of doing that. And look, it was great to see Zay do what he did to end the season. It was great to see Caleb Fields play three more games. He ended up the all-time games played leader at Arkansas State. His 152nd and final game at A-State. I saw your tweet afterwards. I thought it was very fitting. It's something similar to what you said during our last podcast. Just thank you for playing for my school.
Yeah,
I put it out as well. I mean, I didn't expect to, but as I'm signing off after that semifinal game, I said something about the opportunity to see Caleb Fields one more time and his final game, and I got choked up and didn't see that coming.
And but I think it's certainly and it deserved because of what Caleb's done here. And I do think that, you know, at some level, we know that, like we said the other day, Caleb represents kind of the end of an era. We're not going to see a lot of career records broken in the foreseeable future. And so to see a guy, you know, and with COVID playing into, where you also are getting to the end of those COVID guys. So, I mean, he does sort of represent the end of an era for college sports, but certainly for us here at Arkansas State.
Red Wolves finished the season with 20 wins. Big accomplishment there. Seventh time in school history to win 20. Fourth time to win 20 Division I games in the same season. And Coach Hodson, when we brought that up in the pregame the other night, he said, yeah, that's the one that counts. We're a Division I basketball team around here.
And it was always the third season that had both 20 wins and a postseason win in the same season.
Yeah.
Third time that's happened.
A lot of momentum going into the offseason. Most of the team has announced that they're coming back. Most of our fans saw the news about Freddie Hicks going into the portal. Certainly going to miss him, and he was a big part of what happened this season, but that's kind of the day and age we're at right now. And did get a big commitment over the weekend from Joseph Pinion, an Arkansas kid.
Yeah. You know, we could honestly, the next time, you know, we don't have a guest or whatever, we could do a whole podcast about just conversation about, you know, this day and age. And honestly, the changes it's going to necessitate to us as fans, we are going to have to change the way we view and feel about things in terms of people coming and going. And I'm saying that about myself more than anybody, is that it's just going to be more imperative that if a place is your school, then you cheer for the front of the jersey and quit kind of living and dying with what's on the back of it.
But everybody's dealing
with
absolutely. It. There's not a school in the country that's not dealing with the same thing. I think the bottom line is, though, this program is in really good hands right now, and there is a whole lot to be excited about going into next season.
Well, and by the time you're listening to this, I would imagine you've seen news that basketball season ticket renewals for next year are already out. You know, I think those will move briskly, because I think a really, really attainable goal, I'd go more than attainable, I'd be quite honestly surprised if it doesn't happen, is that, you know, the lower bowl will be sold out next year of season tickets.
Can't wait to see it. Like to see that upper level.
And I think we'll move to that. But I mean, but the thing about it is you're not as far off from that, the first part of that, as people think. There's not a ton of inventory down there anyway. So I think it'll not just move, I think it'll move quickly. And then you could sort of shift to kind of new options of buying season tickets in the upper level.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Baseball going 2-2 this past week. They won at UAPB this past Tuesday, 7-4. Then they came home, dropped 2 out of 3 against Georgia Southern Thursday, Friday, Saturday series for Easter weekend. They lost 6-2 on Thursday, then fell 11-0 on Friday night, which was a game that was a whole lot closer than the final score indicated.
I mean, you said, is that the weirdest game? I mean, it didn't really kind of mean for it to sound as poetic or punny as it sounded, but that went from pitcher's duel to run rule before you knew what happened.
Yeah, and Jelle Vanderlei, if they take him out of the game after the sixth inning, he's got a quality start. You know, his velocity really wasn't down much from the start of the game. He was still doing a great job and just ran into some trouble there in the seventh. But it was 3-0 after six. I thought both starting pitchers were good. Theirs happened to be really, really good that night. But, they score 8 in the seventh inning and turns into a run rule. It was important to come back on Saturday and win that game, and they did, 6-3.
Yeah, well, another big-time start.
Yeah, Dylan Hines been really good for us.
He was real good.
And grad transfer from Ryder.
And then Blaine Harpenau came in behind him, and he was good too. Now, it got a little hairy at the end, and the guy who finally came in, you know, they were struggling to get through that ninth inning, and the guy who finally came in with the bases loaded, 2 outs, and got it put away was Jake Henry Williams.
Yeah, he's been a good story.
Yeah, it has.
But the Red Wolves now 16-14 overall, 3-6 in league play. 7 of the next 8 will be on the road now, including 4 road games this week. They'll be in Fayetteville taking on the Razorbacks on Tuesday, and then this weekend traveling to Troy. They've got their newly renovated facility, which was already really, really nice. And they've added all kinds of suites and a new press box and a great environment.
I was noticing the same type of stuff with Georgia Southern, you know, in their notes over the weekend, you know, that they're, I think, spending another $10 million, I think, on their baseball facility. And, you know, they're just 2 years removed from having a regional there. So I really don't have to say much else about that besides you can figure it out from there.
Track and field with 3 different meets this past weekend. They were in Birmingham, San Marcos, and Austin. A 1-2-3 finish in the men's 3,000-meter steeplechase. Cash Kunkel actually had a facility record there in Birmingham. Andrew Mason and Noah McMurtry finished 2nd and 3rd in that event. Elizabeth Martin and Mary Beth Bailey finishing 1-2 in the women's steeplechase. That's become our event over the last few years.
We've become steeplechasers. Yes, we have.
Olivia Walter and J.B. Schuffelberger finishing 1-2 in the women's 3,000. Dylan Brown winning the men's 3,000. Dawson Mayberry winning the men's 5,000. And Josh Jones winning the 110-meter hurdles. And he won the 400-meter hurdles. Track and field all together in one place this upcoming weekend. They'll be in Oxford. Women's golf, meanwhile, they finished 10th out of 21 teams last week at the Fresno State Classic, and they're currently competing at the ULM Invitational in Monroe.
I think that, you know, that Fresno State had a really good field. So I think that, I mean, it was, yeah, you know, pretty good performance there. And then, yeah, Monroe's, you know, won a conference championship. Actually, last year won the conference tournament. So go compete against them before you head to conference this year would be a good way to see how you stack up heading into the conference championship.
Now, ULM, they won it last year. So, yeah, good to go up against them.
You know, with MJ's former assistant, Rachel Pollack, as the head coach.
That tournament in Monroe, the final tune-up before the Sun Belt Championship. And do want to mention tennis. They were at home this past week, lost to Old Dominion on Thursday, then fell to James Madison on Saturday. But a record crowd was there on Saturday for the big family fun fest. And look, they're a whole lot more competitive than what they've been in the past. We've talked about the tennis program, and Mark Taylor could tell us exactly just, I think they've won more matches this year than they have in the past.
Since 2012.
Yeah, since 2012. So.
Yeah, and I mean, they've and Coach Lama, who we had on here, I mean, he's, gosh, I mean,
he can get you fired
but
up.
But he's constantly working on the outside the court part. I mean, they've made the on the court part better, but he's always pushing for things with like this family fun fest. And then right about the time you wonder, is this guy nuts? You do it, and a whole lot of people show up.
Great to see. And had good weather for it this past weekend, too.
Sure did, yeah.
Tennis will be at Georgia Southern Friday, then at Coastal Carolina coming up on Sunday. Do want to give you a chance. You mentioned your work at the NCAA tournament. Got to go over there to Memphis. And you and I haven't actually had a chance to talk about this. So I'm curious.
We went over there. You know, and let's kind of go back. The origin here is that actually a few months back, the people at Memphis, University of Memphis, reached out to the folks in our department saying, hey, you know, here are some spots we're needing help getting filled. If you guys have anybody that wants to come over and help during the NCAA tournament. We had probably at least a half a dozen people over there helping out in some capacity. But when they sent that list, one of the spots they were still trying to fill was the spot of the press conference moderator. And so I looked, and we looked at baseball was gone. It was spring break. I said, what the heck? I'll tell them I'll do that. I'll go over and do that. It was fun. It was interesting. I had not really done that before, but I'd seen it enough times to kind of fake my way through it till we got in a groove. But I enjoyed it, and had some really interesting coaches to sit beside for those days, because
you had Kelvin Sampson.
There, but you had Buzz Williams from Texas A&M, you know, Fred Hoiberg from Nebraska, you know, Richard Pitino from New Mexico, Brad Brownell's the coach at Clemson, been there a long time. He's their winningest coach. He was interesting. You know, the coach at Longwood had they were a 16 seed, but they had a great story because he was had been a private equity attorney who had just felt called to get into coaching, and now he's a Division I head coach.
They had beat High Points, who we saw in overtime in their championship.
And then, I mean, and then Scott Drew, you know, Baylor was there too.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, if we were fortunate enough one day to have Jason Sudeikis on this podcast, and Jason Sudeikis said, you know, guys, I based the character Ted Lasso off of Scott Drew, I'd go, yeah, you did. It's clear to see. The most positive person I've ever been around. In fact, he even made the comment in one of his press conferences during the week that his wife gets mad at him for being too positive sometimes. So a lot of interesting, that was part, just sitting, being in close proximity to those coaches and the way they kind of handle business. And that part was really neat. And it, you know, it's just a big undertaking. Like if you're in it, like you have to do a press conference basically every day you're there. Thursday, all eight teams had to have a press conference, selected players and the coach. Mm-hmm. Friday, all eight teams had to do a post game. Saturday, all four teams still there had to do players and a coach press conference. Then Sunday, all four teams had to do post game. So, I mean, it's going on every day over there. You know, you knew there were places those coaches would rather be than there, but they all knocked it out. The only coach that ever really verbalized it was Kelvin Sampson, and even he was kind of did it in a funny way when you know he wasn't joking. But his Saturday press conference, you know, the off day between the games, he was the last one of the day because they'd played the late game Friday night. And I kind of had a sense. After a couple of days, I had a sense that about how much he was going to want to be there. So instead of just saying, hey, coach, if you'll give us an opening statement, then we'll take questions, I kind of felt what might happen. So I said, coach, if you have any opening thoughts, we'll take those. If not, we'll go to questions. About halfway through, he said, I don't have any opening comment. Doing this press conference was option B. So somebody, like one of the media guys, said, well, Coach, what was option A? He said, there wasn't one. And I was like, well, he ain't lying. I mean, it was, I mean, nobody was doing it for funsies, because there's a lot of media requirements on those coaches, because even before then, they also have availability every day with CBS and Westwood One. They got to do the media room and a lot going on. But it was interesting. You know, spent a lot of time, drove to Memphis and back 4 days in a row and had a couple of long days over there. But it was a pretty interesting experience.
Yeah. You've got a viewpoint that not many people get to have.
And I will tell you now, Buzz Williams is an interesting cat. And I really don't even have a way to back that up or explain it or get into it. Besides, that's just, it'd be a very interesting deep dive and kind of into that guy. Of course, he says a lot of things that go viral in those settings, you know, talking about, especially when he gets to relationship stuff with his players, which you can tell means a lot to him. But interesting dude. I mean, I was around him enough to get a sense of that for sure, that wired a little different.
We got our buddy Vince Walden on his staff.
Yeah.
Used to be an assistant here.
Yeah, you had a lot of ties. I mean, really, when you look at, you know, with Richard Pitino, and we kind of name dropped Bilotto a little bit, and those two obviously go way
really
back.
Really good friends.
But, you know, even if, and I didn't even bring it up, but with Scott Drew, but you would have the McCaslin tie. You know, he came from his staff to go to Arkansas State, and, you know, with Houston and that bunch, you could name drop David Rear, you know, how much do you cross it? But, I mean, you get in long enough, and obviously you can just about connect everybody to somebody that's been at Arkansas State, especially if it's football.
Of course, Coach Hodson, those ties with Alabama, that Alabama team that's going to the Final Four now.
And
you saw on social media the comments from him. And look, he's responsible for a good part of that team being there. So congratulations to the Alabama team and them making it to their first ever Final Four.
And same thing, you know, Jeff. I mean, he ran that search when they hired Nate Oates. So, I mean, he's still obviously connected and invested in that. So, I know those guys were both happy about, you know, Alabama getting to the Final Four for the first time.
Well, we're rooting on the bowling team.
Boy, we are.
Get back and complete that final step in their journey, and hopefully they can win a national championship.
They just deserve it. I mean, this program, Justin Kostic, even more specifically, deserves to win a national championship.
Well, hopefully they can do it again. The Rochester Regional coming up this weekend. Thanks so much to Emma Stoll for coming by and hanging out with us. Really enjoyed that conversation. Thanks to Mark Taylor for setting that up for us. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.